The next case to be heard this morning is number 2008-0717, Board of Education of Columbus City Schools versus Franklin County Board of Revision. Mr. Petkovic.
Master Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning.
The matter before this court is got one of the more arcane fact patterns I've seen in the past 38 years. The properties, the subject of this controversy before the court, is a small commercial property of somewhat less than 8,000 square feet. There was a purchase of this property on December the 15th of 2005. The property, taxpayer's position is that the property on January 1, 2005 had not been begun for construction, but by the sale date in December of that year, the small building was completed and the property was sold.
Let me ask you, I was a little confused that it appeared to be two tax years at issue here.
Yes, sir.
05 and 06?
Yes, and I was going to address that with regard to the issues before this court. Essentially, the first tax year, 2005 and 2006, were before the Board of Revision. Having been involved in a great many sale cases at the Board of Tax Appeals and before Boards of Revision, I would never assert that the sale wasn't arm's length or that that value should not obtain for the tax year 2006. With regard to 2005, we have a certain different set of circumstances. One are the strictures of the taxing statutes. Number one, require a county auditor when a new improvement is added to the property which is not complete on the tax lien date, or there's partial construction, the auditor shall value that at a percentage which reflects its true value and money on that particular date, 1-1. Now, in this particular instance, this building wasn't built. Construction was started after the in spring at the break of the winter weather. Now, the Board of Education filed its complaint on March 24th. There are some problems, because I wasn't involved with this case at that juncture, on notice, where it was sent, whatever, but suffice it to say, by September 29th of 06, the Board of Revision had some form of hearing. The taxpayer did not show up. I was not counsel at that juncture. On October the 18th of 2006, the Board of Revision rendered a decision, quotes, because this is where it starts. At that point in time, it appears that they mistakenly put on full value for the year in which the property was not completed on January 1. There's no issue with regard to 2006 and subsequent years. I mean, the sale price is the sale price, and that's what it is. It was arm's length.
So you're saying on the substantive merits, there would be agreement that as of January 1st, 06, that the improvements
Absolutely.
Had been made.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we're
so
only
the,
talking
so the
about
substantive
this
dispute
little
really,
one-year window within this triennial
okay.
period. Somehow, the Board of Revision realized it made a mistake with regard to that October decision. It wasn't, it didn't come out, I guess, the way they wanted it or the way they decided it should be. They sent out a notice that they were going to have a hearing to vacate that October 18th decision.
Let me ask you about that. That you say they sent out a notice. The only thing that I saw was an attachment to the brief at
yes,
the BTA.
I certainly will get to that because this is where.
But was there?
There was a notice sent out that there would be a hearing scheduled for November the 7th of 2006 with regard to vacating that decision from October the 18th. All well within this magical 30-day period that
is there any evidence of that notice in the record?
Yes, and what happened was, the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Education then filed an appeal. There were several other orders they put out. They made a mistake, they corrected it, on and on and on. Finally, by the time we get to July the 12th of 2007, there was a final corrected whatever, and the Board of Education filed its appeal from that decision.
Well, wasn't there in November of 06, wasn't there an order that purported to revoke or
Well, there was a hearing conducted on November 7th. The Board of Revision on its minutes said, we're vacating the October 18th, 2006 decision. That October 18th decision didn't come out, the vacation of that October 18th decision didn't come out until the 20th because it sat on some clerk's desk in Franklin County. So one or more individuals at Franklin County Auditor's Office are culpable in this thing not being sent out in a timely manner, which started this entire issue of jurisdiction, etc. Now, the fact of the matter is that with regard to the actions of the Board of Tax Appeals that the taxpayer finds most onerous, is that number one, on January the 18th, the Board of Tax Appeals hearing examiner issued a show cause order. The show cause order was predicated on his review of the record. Only the taxpayer filed a response to the show cause order, and then subsequently, the Board of Tax Appeals fashioned its decision with regard to its review of the record on, I believe it was March the 12th of 2008. After the show cause order, I went to the county and said, what is going on with this record? There was these additional proceedings. They're not before the Board of Tax Appeals. Finally, about 2 weeks after the Board of Tax Appeals rendered its decision on the record, the county sent the second part of the statutory transcript to the Board of Tax Appeals, which is in the statutory transcript Board of Tax Appeals sent to this court, but never considered by the Board of Tax Appeals. So here you have a decision of the Board of Tax Appeals on the record dated March the 12th, when they didn't receive the rest of the record until April the 2nd. That's that document I attached as an exhibit. The entirety is supposed to be before this court, pursuant to my asking the Board of Revision what's going on. Essentially, what's happened in this particular case, because a clerk did not send out a letter within 2 weeks of having received the instructions from the Board of Revision, okay, the Board of Tax Appeals took that as being outside a 30-day period. Now, if we look at the law concerning this 30-day period, all of the decisions cited by the Board of Education in their brief and all of the decisions cited by the Board of Tax Appeals in its decision on the record all involve the filing of a notice of appeal. We're dealing with something entirely different. We're dealing with, did the Board of Revision exercise its jurisdiction within the time period in which an appeal could be filed from its original decision, i.e., did they act within 30 days from October the 18th to vacate the October the 18th decision? Clearly, the record indicates that it does. The Board of Tax Appeals' decision appealed to this court, which was done without the benefit of having the record, even though it is on the record. The record clearly establishes that the board took activity as a duly constituted statutory board and vacated its October decision. But for the fact that some clerk waited 2 weeks to take the document off, or to take the instructions off the desk and sent out the one-page decision letter, we wouldn't be here. So, you know, that essentially is.
Is it, and in. In making, in asserting what you're asserting, you know, I haven't seen in a review of the record that I have before me a document that shows, you know, other than the November 20th which the board found to be untimely. Other than the document that you attached to the brief at the BTA, is there another specific piece of paper document that shows the Board of Revision saying the October 18th order is revoked?
It is supposed to be reflected in the minutes of the Board of Revision. It is supposed to be served on the Board of Tax Appeals pursuant to 5717-01. And, you know, what is a taxpayer to do? He can't force the county to do what they're required to do by law.
Did the Board of Tax Appeals at any point find that the record before it was incomplete? Did they need to go and ask
the
county?
Didn't even care. And between March 18th and April the 2nd, when it got the additional transcript material from the Franklin County Board of Revision, after I insisted a million times that they do something, the Board of Tax Appeals, knowing that the original decision was made on a deficient record, didn't even vacate that decision, just let it stand. Now, as taxpayers' counsel, I was caught between somewhat of a rock and a hard place, because you had a Board of Tax Appeals decision with the appeal time running, and usually it's been my experience, if you file a motion for reconsideration, you're not going to get enough time to have it acted on, or the motion is going to be ineffectual because the board doesn't grant those. So the only avenue to keep the thing alive was to file an appeal here. The other thing that I don't understand is the board is hung up on this 30-day period in which to file an appeal. We're not talking about filing an appeal. And counsel, in its brief, talks about this 30-day period in which to file an appeal, and the force and effect of 5715-20, which talks about the 30-day period in which to file an appeal. If that, in fact, is the case, okay, there was an order that was sent by certified mail pursuant to 5715-20, and that was the November 20th order, okay? No appeal was filed from that order. And the board notes at page 3 of its decision that the Board of Education's appeal was predicated on a July 12th correcting order of a July 9th order of, you know, this previous mess. Now,
I want to ask you another question about this issue of the record and what the Board of Revision sent to the BTA. Have you had occasion to review the record that the BTA certified to the court?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I looked at part of what they had. I went to the county. I was assured they gave me a copy of the transmittal letter from April the 2nd.
Did you look at a copy of what they sent? What they sent later on? I thought you said that they had sent documents after the BTA issued its decision in this
case.
Yes,
they did. On April the 2nd, they certified what was a lost portion of the transcript, which embraced, to my understanding, what happened subsequent to October the 18th.
So it's your understanding that occurred, that the BTA had that documentation, and then that should have been certified.
Should have certified it if they had it, because I was assured by the county and given a copy of their transmittal letter to the Board of Tax Appeals. I see my time is up. But, you know, the problem with that is if there was no appeal filed within 30 days for the November 20th decision, did it not become final by operation of law if you're going to use the same theory that the Board of Tax Appeals used in its original decision?
Thank you, Mr. Petkovic. Mr. Gillis.
May it please the Court, Mark Gillis on behalf of the Board of Education.
Well, let me ask a question about this record. What's your understanding of that situation?
My understanding of the record, first of all, is that the issue of its completeness or incompleteness was never raised in the appellant's response to the Board of Tax Appeals show cause order. They attached a copy of the agenda that the Board of Revision had for November 7th. As far as Board of Education is concerned, no notices were ever sent. The hearing was being held for November 7th in this case. The board met on its own, which it has every power to do. It also could have met, and this gets to oral pronouncements being binding on people without them being reduced to writing and put in their journal and sent to the parties. As far as anybody knows, they met on November 8th and decided not to do that. Now, we've got subsequent events that would indicate that the board didn't do that. But
And what subsequent events are you referring to? The November 20th?
The November 20th decision letter that was sent, which is actually the only method in which this board, the Board of Revision, speaks. Oral pronouncements, they can issue, the three board members can vote to agree in front of the parties at a hearing, which the November 7th meeting of the Board of Revision was not in this case. And then they can meet afterwards and change that decision. Nothing is a final appealable order until they reduce it to writing and mail it to the parties. That gets us to the November 20th decision to reopen the case and vacate. Counsel has said that a notice of appeal should have been filed within 30 days of that decision. However, a decision to reopen and vacate a prior decision is not a final appealable order. It's not until they issue a new decision on valuation that it becomes a final appealable order. So the notice of which occurred in, I believe, in July of 07, which is the notice of appeal that we filed at that particular point. What we have here, there's a very simple solution that the appellant could have taken to resolve this whole thing. When it hadn't received the decision of the board in writing that they had actually vacated and reopened the case on the 29th day after the October 18th decision, they could have filed a notice of appeal because the board had not acted in a timely fashion in order to retain jurisdiction over the case. Whether or not the board met prior to 30 days and agreed to vacate and reopen this case is irrelevant because they didn't act within that 30-day period. Counsel has said that the argument deals only with filing notices of appeal. However, this court has made it clear that the Board of Revision retains jurisdiction over its decisions and to review them for 30 days. And they cannot review their own decision after 30 days. The import of the Board of Revision's actions in this case are that they have taken jurisdiction back or attempted to after the 30-day period and are reviewing their own decision after the 30 days has expired. Under appellant's scenario, any decision of a Board of Revision, nobody knows whether it's actually final or not. Because if they had met and orally agreed to reopen and vacate the case, but have just not sent out the decision to the parties, under appellant's scenario, the board has exercised its jurisdiction and is still pending at the BOR, or the Board of Revision, no matter how much time has passed, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and then they can simply issue a new decision and it's pending. And according to appellant, that's a valid decision at that particular point. That's precisely what this court meant when it said that it's axiomatic that court speaks only through its journal. Any other holding would necessarily produce a chaotic situation, which is essentially what is occurring in this case with the current appeal.
I want to follow up again, and I keep coming back to the same. You're not aware of any Board of Revision documentation that was certified to the BTA subsequent to the BTA's decision in this case, or are you?
I am not aware of any subsequent certification. I have not reviewed the Board of Tax Appeals' current file. I have reviewed our file. We have no notice of a November 7th hearing. The next notification that was received by the Board of Education in this case was a notice dated November 21st, after the date of the vacating of the decision, or the purported vacating of the decision, setting the matter for a hearing sometime in the future. All of that, though, is irrelevant to the issue at hand, because that notice of hearing was done after the 30-day period and after the decision was actually rendered to vacate and reopen the case, which occurred after 30 days of the original decision, being a void decision in that regard. There is typically, with regard to the Board of Revisions agenda that the appellant attached, they would indicate at the top of that page the attorneys that are scheduled to, or the offices that are scheduled to appear on behalf of Boards of Education. I don't believe there's any notations on that agenda, which further would indicate that this was an agenda item for the board and not a called hearing. So, with that, the Board of Education would simply request that this court affirm the Board of Tax Appeals' decision, which was to order the Board of Revision to vacate the November 20th, 2006 decision, the July 9th, 2007 decision, and the July 12th, 2007 decision, and order that the Board of Revision reinstate the original October 18th decision, increasing the value to its purchase price.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. Mr. Petkovic, you've reserved 1 minute, 36 seconds for rebuttal.
Just very briefly, the fact of the matter is that the Board of Tax Appeals made a determination without really having the full set of facts before it, and predicated on what it did on a great deal of supposition. It also did that without granting any of the parties in the proceeding to be heard on the matter. They simply did it by virtue of show cause order and requested responses pursuant to that show cause order, and then went and fashioned their decision.
Well, doesn't that constitute a type of hearing, though?
No, because there are other issues that are involved. If that seems to be the particular issue of what did they do, when did they do it, how did they do it, had there been a hearing scheduled, then it would have been possible to subpoena people or subpoena documents, if that in fact were the case. Taxpayer can't furnish a statutory transcript to a Board of Tax Appeals, only the county can. And if the county doesn't act, then how do you enforce that? And how do you enforce that within very narrow time strictures? Did you file writ of mandamus and see if you can squeeze it in 12 days? It's just simply an absurd result.
Well, when you became involved in the case later on, but were you involved at the Board of Tax Appeals?
Yes, at that juncture. Okay. By that juncture, I had been involved because the Board of Education had filed a notice of appeal with the Board of Tax Appeals from what the Board of Tax Appeals says is the July 12, 2007 correcting letter of a correcting letter of something else. And in writing their decision, the Board of Tax Appeals basically wiped out three actions of the Board of Revision, and it's the taxpayer's position that this matter should be reversed and remanded to the board to conduct some type of hearing in which they can make a basis for determination. A board's decision, if you read it, pages 2, 3, 4, and 5, there's a lot of supposition on behalf of the hearing examiner of what is in the record or what it purports to say. And it's pretty short shrift when a taxpayer is entitled to have a full and accurate transcript filed by a government entity, and that doesn't happen.
Let me ask you one more question. In your response to the show cause order at the BTA or otherwise, did you specifically request a hearing on these issues?
Did I request a hearing?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I didn't specifically request one. We weren't the appellant in that case. Presumptively, the burden of going forward would have been on the Board of Education at that juncture.
Thank you, Mr. Petkovic.
Thank you, sir.
This case will be submitted. The court will advise the parties of its decision.